The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Noddy, hosted by Earl the Pearl on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Talking Heads with Noddy is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Central Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Grand Bahama News, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's and Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
And good afternoon, good day. Welcome to Talking Heads on a Thursday afternoon. Yes, this is your boy Pearly in the house on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is so good to be here with you. I thought it was starting to cool up. It looked like the sun is getting hot out there in this good month of November. But they say it's time to get ready for Christmas. People are doing that. But just before we do that, you need to find out how you could be a Talking Head if you really want to be one.
Here's how you can become a Talking Head, brought to you by BTC.
Feel free to call me at 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. And you can always get me toll free. 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. And if you're too shy to talk on the radio and you just want to text me, feel free to text me on the line powered by BTC 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's it. What's going on in the headlines today, Chris?
It's time for Headliners. Everything that's making headlines in the 242. Brought to you by the Fine Threads.
Government spent $10 million to fight bad press. Says ministry was dealing with bad international coverage of Bahamas earlier this year. Bill tabled. Man murdered in Bean Town. Trump receives congratulations and an invitation to the White House as Biden nudges on transition. And in the business section, it says here, U.S. casino developer could revive Atlanta's Beach Tower project. Thompson questions power of FS in new tax bill. Developer has $382 million interest in Atlanta's central bank, says. That's a lot of money. Parliamentarians debate domestic minimum top-up tax bill. And central bank slowdown in stopover visitors began in August with 3.5% dip. I should tell y'all something. So what's happening, everybody? Y'all good? Well, I got a special guest today. We're going to talk. Every so often I try to stay away from that political stuff. And we try to talk about things that interest you, things that can help some people out there. So we're going to talk about job crew. We're going to talk about getting a job today. I'm going to put it real simple for you. We're talking about how you can get a job, the new dynamics about how you apply for a job, the new way people are working now. Since the pandemic, a lot of different things has happened and evolved in the jobs market. People don't necessarily have to go into the office anymore. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So get some young people, call them, tell them, turn on the radio, listen. You're going to learn something today. And I'd like to welcome my special guest, a dear friend of mine, beautiful young lady. She's a little mind skin, so she ain't my type too much. But welcome Heather McDonald.
It's good to be back.
That's right. This is your second time with me.
Yes, it is, and it's always a joy. We always have a good time.
Yes, we do.
When we're here, but I'm back today. I just recently completed two series.
Okay.
I had some training seminars between September.
Okay.
And the last one was in October.
Okay.
Where I was assisting persons with job readiness, how to create resumes, how to market yourself in the modern world.
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't realize now the way that you used to look for jobs is completely different. The way even interviews were done, say, 10 years ago has changed dramatically, especially because of the pandemic.
Yes.
Most interviews are done at a coffee shop or via Zoom or even WhatsApp call.
So you ain't got to dress up in no coat, suit, and tie no more. Go sit in an office. Make sure your hair cut. Make sure your fingernails clean. Well, you can just get a cup of coffee and a pair of jeans and sit down and interview for a job. That's what you're trying to say?
Yes, but you still want to be presentable.
Yeah,
you still
yeah,
should
yeah.
get your hair cut.
Yeah.
You know, but We're now moving into a modern age.
Okay.
And even the jobs that we had before is redundant now.
Okay.
We see what's happening in the fast food industry right now in the United States, where robotics
yes.
has taken over. They just McDonald's laid off, I believe, 12,000 people.
What? All of that?
In their franchises in California.
Wow.
And what they did is they now have robots in place making the French fries, making the burgers. They have a computer screen out there. Only need three persons on a shift.
Wow.
Just to supervise everything. So there's absolutely no contact with a human now when you visit some of these McDonald's.
Wow.
So we have to start thinking now, even when we're, for those who have kids, I know you have your grandson and all your kids are ready.
My decent get sick. My
children
are already
done.
Yeah, yeah.
They're working, they're in college, and they're good. But we have to now start thinking. I was speaking at UB last week, Thursday. We have to start thinking now that when we send our kids off to college, you have to start thinking to yourself, will they be able to be employed after they get this degree?
Uh-huh. And yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of people get some degrees I'm hearing about and I've never heard about in my entire life.
Well, some of these degrees, I like to call it, whenever colleges invite me to speak, they always get nervous. They're like, now, Heather, please don't. Be careful what you're saying about our majors. I said, but some of these majors really shouldn't be in these institutions because they're a waste of money, especially in the United States.
Uh-huh.
I believe that we need to go back to the time where we were more focused on technical vocational courses. And I am alumni of BTVI. Yes,
okay.
I went to University of Edinburgh and Nectar. I have a master's, but I started off in technical school.
Okay.
And I have a trade. And that trade can stay with me forever.
Yeah, what you get in your head, you can't lose.
Exactly. And I always tell people, and I encourage my nieces and nephews, as well as my young people, shout out to the Central District of the Youth Empowerment Program.
I knew something like that was coming.
And everybody's out at YEP meeting on Thursday.
Okay.
My students, they say, listen, even if you go to college, that's great, but have a trade, go to cosmetology, take up massage therapist. Because when I go to my beautician, I got to give the woman $90 just to wash my hair.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you always need something to fall back on. And we realized that when the pandemic hit. So a lot of persons who had trades, they were still able to survive and do some little side gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And with the economy now, we're not going to get political or we're not going to go
No, we're not talking politics today.
Unless somebody calls.
Yeah.
But we realize now that the inflation crisis that we're going through and the high prices of food, the high cost of living,
uh-huh.
you have persons. Now I have a friend who's an attorney who bakes cakes on the side.
Okay.
You understand? Uh-huh. And that's because you have to have a second hustle just to maintain your lifestyle or to improve your lifestyle.
Yeah, but the government, UB, just put out a study saying you need $10,000 a month to live, a family of four.
I believe it. I believe that 100%. And that's the thing. Thinking of a family of four, when they did that study, they were looking at a mother and a father and two kids.
Right.
But think of it as this, a single parent with three kids. That is the average here in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Normally, it's not two persons bringing in income into the home. And after the pandemic, what I wish they did a little bit more, expanded the study a little bit more, because after the pandemic and Hurricane Dorian, home with their parents.
Yeah, a lot of people, yeah.
How many had to move in with their siblings? Like right now, my two siblings are living with me because, you know.
But they're older than you. How they could be living with you? You living with them?
I was living by myself first, you know. Shout out to the McDonald's.
Yes.
I love them. But they were affected. My sister was a Hurricane Matthew victim.
Okay.
And my brother was a Hurricane Dorian victim.
Okay.
You know, he lost everything.
Yeah.
Like every single thing. The only thing he had was his cell phone.
Wow. And the clothes on his back.
And the clothes on his back. He lost everything.
Wow.
In Dorian, because he was living and working in Abaco.
Okay.
And now you have families now coming in together. And I was speaking to one of my other colleagues. He's like, you know what? Me and my siblings, we're coming together and we're just going to build some apartment units, go to the bank together. And now everybody is now pooling in resources.
Yes.
Because persons cannot afford to live on their own anymore because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
You know, so I could only imagine. My heart goes out to all of the single mothers and the single fathers as well, because I'm not going to. I know some single fathers in the Bahamas.
I know a couple too. I got a young man across the street from me.
I
admire him. He's raising his son on his own, and he hustles. And I admire what he does. All right, I'm a college student. I'm a UB student. I'm studying hospitality management. I'm about to graduate. Do I just build up my resume and send it out, or what is the first step should we do now?
Well, the first step you should do is I'm a hospitality University of the Bahamas dropout.
Okay.
By the way. Whenever I have to speak, I said I went to the Hotel Training College and I didn't make it past the first semester because I cried. I didn't make it through Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
You know, I couldn't take it. I used to go in the freezer and hide and cry.
Oh, Lord.
In the freezer and hide in the pantry away from the other chefs because I couldn't take the pressure. But what I would tell you is get involved in the industry. The hotel industry is something that if you want to be a chef, if you want to be involved in food and beverage, if you want to be a bartender, whatever it is, find a restaurant where you could start, you know, just building your resume up because it's easier that way. Because when you get the experience, then you can get the higher paid jobs.
Okay.
Because the hotel industry over here, they pay very well. Bahama pays well.
Okay.
But when you're going there entry level with zero experience, you're going to get exactly what
entry level money.
Okay. You're going to make that money. So if you have a desire to work in a particular field, I come from a long stint of legal background working at law firms. Uh-huh. How I got in there, I walked up to Magistrate Franklin Williams and I said, hey, I'm interested. I'm in law school and I'm interested. Can I intern here? You know, and him and Pleasant Bridgewater, they assist me. And I was an intern and I ended up working there for like 9 months before I got a job at Simeon Brown and Company.
Okay.
And I started to work from there. So sometimes you just can't wait to be hired.
Okay.
If you're really passionate about an industry, say, so I can learn under people, understand
the industry. Now, that's for the young people now. People like my age, I can't wait for free.
Yeah. And you could build up your resume that way because you'll be, I was able to put, I don't put that on my resume anymore, of course, but I have a CV now, little groon like you.
Yeah.
You know, but I was able to put, hey, I worked in the magistrate court as an intern. And because I had that on my resume when I was living in Grand Bahama, every law firm that I applied to called me back.
Okay. I'm doing my resume. I'm putting it together now. I'm a young person putting my resume together. Should I put my picture on my resume? I've seen some resumes coming out now with the picture of the person on it. What's the best way to do a resume? Do you put every single job you had? Or do you just put the more recent, you know, last couple of years? Is there a new way to put the resume together now, or is it the same old traditional way?
The resumes have modernized.
Okay.
One, everybody just wants everything electronically.
Yes.
The majority of the companies right now, like I was speaking with someone in HR from BTC, because I'm having a job fair. We're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
And they tell me you apply through LinkedIn. So for the job fair, I now have to have about 3 laptops set up. For anybody who's interested in applying to BTC, to let them apply through LinkedIn, because that's a new thing that they're doing now.
Yeah, I know.
LinkedIn is a website for professionals, and it's also the best place to headhunt. So if you're a company and you're looking for persons in specialty areas, you can just type it up in LinkedIn and put the city or the country where these persons may be, and everybody on LinkedIn who specializes in those areas will pop up. And they will inbox you. I got a few jobs because of LinkedIn.
Okay.
My LinkedIn account, I didn't apply, but the persons reached out to me on LinkedIn. Hey, you're in the Bahamas in Nassau. We're doing a project here where the project is going to be about 10 months. Are you interested? This is a position and so forth. And we like what we see on your LinkedIn page because your LinkedIn page is actually a digital resume.
Yes.
The entire thing, your picture's there. All of your work history is there as well as your education. And then like any articles that I published or in newspapers and so forth, I also uploaded that to LinkedIn as well for them to see seminars that I had and so forth. And you could put that up there. But if you're a job seeker, you know, LinkedIn has this thing now where, and I'm trying to plug in LinkedIn because they ain't paid Gotti
yet
for this ad.
But
for the job seekers, you could pay the low cost is less than $20. And LinkedIn will contact you. They will constantly send you any available job in your area. And you could tell them the locations that you're willing to work in.
Okay.
So you could put Fort Lauderdale, Canada, you know, because some people, they want to work outside of the country. You can also put you're willing to work remotely. And that is a huge market right now. A lot of persons working remotely from home.
Uh-huh.
Even myself.
That's the new trend now, right?
It's a new trend. Remote work is actually putting a lot of brick and mortar corporations out of business. And I'm talking about office administration stuff. I have in 2019, I started HWM Corporate Services, and I never had to work for somebody after that.
Okay.
You know, what I, and a lot of the work that I do is remote. Persons can't afford, persons in middle class, middle size and small businesses, they can't afford a full staff. So what they would do is they'll contact a company like myself and they'd be like, okay, I need you to deal with, I have this project coming up. I need some contracts created. I need you to create this scheme for me, strategies and so forth. And we put all of that together.
Okay.
I have a client that I just make PowerPoint presentations for.
Okay.
You know, they don't have the time. And you know, I'm a PowerPoint queen.
Yeah. Well,
and they literally, that's all I do for them is just create PowerPoint presentations. Okay. And I do everything remote. And you charge them your fee and that's that. And that's hurt, especially the HR industry. That's hurting a lot of companies right now.
Yes, it is.
Because persons are now hiring remote workers because you don't have to pay these people to come in.
You ain't got as much billing space.
You don't
got
to pay an IB either.
Your light bill lower. You don't have to have stuff like that.
Correct.
I go on Facebook a lot. And some of the things I see people put on Facebook, sometimes I reach out to them and say, hey, delete that because this is something you have to pay for. Not today. You might only be a 12th grader, but not today, but in a few years. And talk about how, be careful what you post. Be careful because these things carry you for the rest of your life. And when people looking for you, they may see your name up on LinkedIn, pull you up, and then do a deep search and find out, oh, she did a strip show one day.
Oh, my goodness.
Or something, or whatever.
OnlyFans. Here's the thing. I used to do, I still kind of do it with special clients, onboarding and interviews for some clients.
Uh-huh.
But it's so time-consuming, so do not call me.
Okay.
Don't have the time anymore.
Okay.
Don't call me. But when I did it, I always tell persons who I have to do job ready seminars for, I also work a lot with NTA. They call me in now and again to facilitate. Shout out to all the students down there as well. One thing I always tell them, I say, go on Facebook and clean everything up.
Right.
Change your email name. I remember I was doing some onboarding work from blah, blah, blah company. And it was hilarious because the persons who were, the director came to us, we only need 10 people, but they sent us in about 300 resumes. We don't have no time for you to sort through that. So anybody with any funny name, this is a true story.
Okay.
Anybody with any funny name, funny sounding name, just throw it in the garbage. If their resume doesn't look right, or just throw them in the garbage because we just need the top 10 because we need somebody in place right away.
Okay.
So right there, your presentation for your resume is everything.
Yes.
If you cannot apply for a job and just have, I worked at Dunkin' Donuts from 2019 to 2018. Sorry, 2019 to 2020.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. Like you didn't say what you did, the position you held or anything like that. These were the things that we were seeing coming in. So of course that's gonna go in garbage. Yeah. Another thing people need to realize is your entire resume shouldn't be like you worked someplace just for 1 year. I saw a resume where the person had worked to 5 different places, but they literally only worked there for 1 year.
Oh boy, yeah.
And I always tell people, hold out for at least 3 years. If you're working to, and she wasn't fired, by the way, she quit.
Yeah.
If you want to be taken seriously and you really want to get a good job and a well-paying job, no one's going to hire you unless you've made it over the 2-year, 3-year mark.
And that's what I want to talk to you about, because talking to, I almost say who it is because if I talk to, if I call the name, they can know exactly what you're talking about. But in talking to friends, young people today aren't loyal in terms of they don't take much foolishness. They ain't dressing up. If they won't have dreadlocks, they have dreadlocks. It's a whole different working class. Well, I don't, maybe not say working class, but a whole new different workforce when you look at young people. They're a lot different than you or I. We would ride out a job for 5 to 6 years. But what after 1 year, they're ready to go right away.
Well, I will be honest. That has a lot to do with parenting.
Okay.
I believe that my generation, the millennials and the Gen Xs, they call it the kids.
Yes.
And a lot of kids, they got rewarded for things that they did not earn.
Okay.
You know, and when you give so much for your kids, I remember my parents, when summer vacation coming up, you know, you want to go away, you want to get some things.
Yeah.
You had to work.
Yes.
You had to go in whether it was cleaning the yard, doing chores.
Doing something, earning
it. Doing something, because we're going away for the summer and you got to earn that little piece of money you get it. But these kids, they are handed everything.
Yeah.
And because they're handed everything, they have no stickability.
Right.
And then you have parents, they're not allowing their children to get in on the job field early. From 10th grade, my dad had a rule. He said, you reach in grade 10, you get in a summer job.
Okay.
You know, these kids right now, they're not rubbish.
No, a lot don't.
They don't. They do not know what summer
job is. I taught my kids
is.
That when my son was 10 years old, I said, Dad, I want a G-Shock watch. I said, well, you're going to need to go work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a job at Kelly's. Parking, this brother was making sometimes $50 to $80 a day in tips. Because he had a down back. Good afternoon, ma'am. How are mm-hmm. you? Did you have a good day? So he would talk them all the way to the cars. And so instead of getting them a dollar, people was getting them $2 and $3.
Exactly.
But he made his money and he saved up his money and he bought his G-Shock watch. And it's something like that. Young people today, they get 1.00 GPA and still get an iPhone.
And the thing is, I lay that at the feet of the parents.
Yes.
You have to instill work ethic in your kids.
Yes.
And a lot of these parents, they coddle them. When children are being corrected by mentors in different programs or even teachers, rather than fighting against the teachers, you should correct your child.
Yes.
And it starts from there. When I know mommy is always going to take up for me and mommy's always going to fight for me and so forth, when I go on the job, I'll be like, I don't have to take this. I quit my job. My mommy can take care of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mommy's going to get old one day.
And mommy can't take care of you.
Exactly. And that lies at the feet of the parents. But to go back to you on Facebook, after we pass the resume screening, the second step that we do is we go on Facebook. We have a website that we pay for.
Okay.
That we use. We put your name, your whatever information you give us in there, your email address. And we put all that in there, your phone number. And we put that in the website. Every website will pop up. First thing, paying that fee allows us, even if your page is private, we could still go on your page and see. So if you have an OnlyFans page, if you are a member of Pornhub, sorry, it's going to pop up.
I actually have my prescription run out.
So. You know?
I'm kidding.
The thing is, it pops up.
Yes.
And you see that. And that's another part of the elimination process that a lot of persons don't even realize. And when you go on their page and you see them sticking up their middle finger, or most importantly, talking about their former boss bad,
yeah.
I can't take this no more. These people don't know me.
Yeah.
I'll come up in this place and shoot up this place.
Yeah.
Or this person did not pay me and so forth. And they put that business out there. Wow. And so that causes you to be eliminated right off the job.
Let's take it. See, my producers keep me in check. He said we got to take a break. We can take a quick break. But you hear that, people? If you got foolishness on your Facebook page, delete it. Today, clean it up because it affects you in time to get in that job market and get out there in the world. We're going to take our first break. This is Pearlie with my special guest, Heather McDonald, on the Talking Heads Thursday. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
You try to rest, but roll with the best for all your printing, I know. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Take a juicy bite out of life with the new KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich. From its 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet, KFC signature ranch sauce, and fresh lettuce, to its cheddar cheese and smoky bacon stacked on a toasted brioche bun, you'll love this ultimate sandwich experience. Yes, the fried chicken experts have done it again. The KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich is available in original recipe or spicy, but only available for a limited time at your favorite KFC. The new KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich is here, and it's finger-licking good.
I'm joyriding.
Lucky clients, the chance to win cash prizes this Christmas. Finance your vehicle with us for your chance to win, and we'll gift you no loan application fee, up to 100% financing, and up to 10 years to repay. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/joyofgiving and apply for vehicle financing now. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, hosted by Earl the Pearl. On Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John's Shoes.
Lord have mercy.
Welcome back, welcome back. Producer, you saw, one of these days, producer, I can get up and dance. Don't worry, one of these days, I can show you all how us old people just do their moves. But it ain't gonna be the day, though. Let's read a couple of these texts. Good afternoon. Not a fair statement to critique people for short-term jobs. We have some horrible supervisors and bosses out there and get a kick out of keeping their feet on people's neck. Okay. Great show as usual. I worked for 25 years on my job. I told my boss, good luck finding another one like me. I'm a dinosaur. And back to the text that talked about don't jump on people with short-term jobs. Listen, if you come to Guardian Radio last year and moved to somewhere else, that's fine. But if you come to Guardian Radio last year, then moved to Joe Blow Station in last year, then moved to the Bahama Times in last year, then moved to this one, then that's a trend. If you're moving to four and five different jobs only last year, yes, we have some horrible supervisors. But I always tell people, don't leave a job for no job. Mm-hmm. Don't leave job for no job. I think I said that's how I use it. Don't leave job for no job.
Exactly.
In other words, don't you're working, you're getting a salary. You may not be happy, you may not be the best, but you leave, and then next week Friday, you get nothing.
And a lot of things people need to understand is when you reach the work world, you're in the real world.
Yes.
And how you feel is not necessarily how they're going to respond to you.
Exactly.
They're going to understand that you feel that way on the job, and my heart goes out to anybody who has a horrible supervisor. But whenever I'm brought into a company to do training and so forth, you have to understand the company wants you to fit their brand.
Yes.
Whenever you get hired, if I get hired at the Guardian Radio, Guardian Radio has something called workplace culture here.
Yes.
Everybody workplace culture is different. And you can be the most talented person in the world, but if you cannot adapt to somebody, company's workplace culture, you're not going to survive there.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to be promoted and be elevated. And
yes.
And I know that sounds harsh, but that is just the truth. And a lot of times, if you're somebody right now and you're on the work and you're listening to this show right now, and you've been wondering why you haven't been promoted, why you continue to be overlooked, you're the first person to reach, the last person to leave, why am I not connected? And I'll tell you this, two reasons why you can get promoted. One, you don't know how to network within your company. And the second place is you never adapted to the workplace culture.
Yeah.
Because work, you actually physically doing the job is 30%.
Yeah.
70% is charm.
Yeah.
70% is how well that you could bring new clients in for the company.
Yeah.
How well you can be a voice and a spokesperson for the company. These are the things.
And how well you get along with your co-workers.
That as well. You know, especially if you want a leadership position on your job and you want to manage people, they have to be able to see you as a leader and to see you as a likable leader as that.
I remember my experience when the first World Relays came to the Bahamas in 2014. I was director of communications, so they gave me this book. And they said, this is the director of communications role for the World Relays. It says, you don't deviate from this. You follow this to the T. We don't want no suggestions. We don't want any ideas. And I'm paraphrasing. We don't want any ideas given to us. At the end of the day, when the relays are over, you can send us your ideas, and then we will revise the book. Thing is, so you don't have controversy. You don't have kick up. We go this one route. It worked last year or last time. We made some tweaks. We go this one route, and that basically what it is on the job. A lot of people come on the job and say, man, they start in week 7:30 in the morning. They shouldn't start. We can push for them to start week 8 o'clock because I can't make it. That's the work culture. The people want you to wake 7:30.
Uh-huh.
The people want you to work at sitting at your desk at a certain time. And you're saying, I'm the first one there, I'm the last one, but I don't talk to anybody.
Exactly.
I just sit there and I ain't to these people. I ain't got to be friends with them. I just got to do my job and go. But then you want to figure out why you're still making the same small salary.
Mm-hmm.
Or why you ain't getting promoted when you see other people coming behind you getting promoted. But you notice other person networks. They talk to the people. They learning. They mm-hmm. helping. They going the extra mile. And we ain't saying extra mile is you have to stay till 6 o'clock in the evening, you know. We ain't saying that. We saying the extra mile could be that you could be doing that during your working hours. I'm not a stickler to saying that you have to work 10 hours a day to get the job done when you should have been able to do in 8 hours. You need to figure out why you ain't get that done in 8 hours. So there's some of the things. Job fair. You see, you got a job fair you're going to be?
Yes, I'm having a job fair this Saturday between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Okay.
We're going to be at E.P. Roberts. We have numerous companies that will be there.
Okay.
At the job fair. As well as we're going to have some remote working companies that's going to be there as well to help you sign up. We're going to have persons there with laptops to help you sign up.
Okay.
The labor board is also going to be there. You know, they have this wonderful program called Labor on the Blocks.
Yes.
There. Shout out to Mr. Farrington and the wonderful team at the labor board. We appreciate you guys. You guys have been doing a great job so far. And it's going to be from different industries. We have landscaping. We have transportation. We have some offices, insurance companies, hotel, and they're all going to be there.
Okay.
So please come out, E.P. Roberts, this Saturday between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Okay. We got a call. I'll call you on there. How you doing?
Hey, Pearly, how are you about all this?
I'm good, my brother. What you saying?
Hey, how are you? You all right?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, so far, tuning in Nari here.
Hey, Nari.
Good, bless up. Hello. One thing in terms of jobs, I realized about young people, I don't know if you do it, but I had a recommendation where I realized when people are applying nowadays, they leave a lot of information out. And I think something you should stress if you are not already doing it is ensure that people learn to maximize in terms of everything that they have in their initial package with their resume, which I think would show the employer that you are ready to work in a sense. So it's like the only thing you would want them to call you back for would be like your banking information.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's critical. Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah, especially with the labor board being there, as well as we're going to have some persons with the laptops where you can upload. If you could bring yourself on a flash drive, that'll be great as well. Because, you know, everything now is digital. But, Denari, I agree with you 100% because a lot of persons, your skills sometimes, a lot of times on your resume, they like to go down to see where the certifications are and the special skills that you have.
Yes.
So, because if you're getting all these resumes in, the thing that's going to set you apart from everybody else is the skill, a special skill.
Yeah. And another thing for kids who are coming out of high school or coming out of college, it isn't just about the academics.
No.
It's not that you got a 4-point average, but you didn't do anything else. You didn't play soccer. You didn't participate in any extracurricular activities. You didn't do anything outside of just going to work.
Yeah.
So your involvement in a bunch of other things also shows the boss that diversification.
And there's a lot of students who graduated college just August and June gone, who's still unemployed.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times I worked my way through college.
Mm-hmm.
With all the different institutions I went to and graduated, I worked every time.
Yeah.
So when it was time for persons who I graduated in high school, I was some of their bosses. You understand? I was way ahead of them because during my time out of high school, I went on the workforce immediately.
Yep.
And so I was able to build my resume up. Whereas when they came out of college, they had nothing on their resume. Yep. And I remember one of the places that I work, I can laugh at it now, but the CFO there basically told the person, said, I don't care if you have a CPA. You have a CPA to show what accountant firm you worked with before.
Yeah.
You know, and I was an air shot of the interview, and I laughed at myself. But this person walked in dressed up so good, briefcase, and he was like, I'm getting this job. And the person who ended up getting the accountant position was somebody who didn't even get their CPA yet. They were working on getting their CPA. However, they worked at Scotia, worked at Pricewaterhouse, and they worked at all these other places.
They had the experience.
So they ended up getting the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice, and that's why I say it's critical. And I think a lot of people miss that opportunity when they leave these stuff out and they cost the employer of the ass. Because, you know, when you're applying for a job, you want to try and make yourself as much marketable or make yourself that ideal candidate.
Yes.
You know? So it's always critical you give yourself that little edge or that leeway, like, hey, they're saying the story, because it could actually pull you over the top versus someone who just have the theory, you know. So all-around approach is critical.
Yeah, and don't be afraid because you might have worked at McDonald's or Wendy's to put that on your resume, because it shows you have some customer service experience.
Not only that, I could tell you for a fact, employers love when they see you worked for fast food restaurants. Yeah. I'm going to tell you why. It shows that you could work well under pressure.
Yes.
Whenever they see somebody was working for a fast food restaurant, they was like, oh, and they were in college and they was paying their way through school, going, oh, this is somebody who has stickability.
Yes.
And you'll find 9 times out of 10, they'll get the job.
Would you say they're caller?
Agreed. Okay. Wholeheartedly agreed.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. I got somebody else who wants to say something so we can see you. Thanks. I appreciate the call, Nari. Take care, brother. Call you on there. How you doing?
Hey, Paulie. How you doing, man?
Hey, my brother. What's happening?
Right there, my brother, and good afternoon to your guests in the studio.
Good afternoon.
Madam, I want you to repeat what you said a couple seconds ago concerning, you know, this misperception like that, that you got to have qualifications in terms of paper. It's over experience. Does not mean that you are qualified or better suited for the job that you're applying for. We have the misperception in this country that, oh, your working knowledge and experience on the field is not outweighed by the qualifications you may get from a university or college or whatever in terms of academic education. And this is why we in this country are losing out, because many companies now are looking for these persons with these credentials, not knocking it, you know, because it plays a role. But what really plays a bigger role to me is that when you have that physical experience, that when you bring that to the table and use that in real time, it is something that employers can actually use right now. But to come with paperwork and then try to apply what you have learned in the classroom and you don't have even the experience yet in the field, it becomes a problem, whereas you have to wait for them to prove themselves, whereas the person who already has the experience and has proven themselves in other places can easily just go on the job and get the job done. And that's all I wanted to say today, but I want you to repeat that again, because that is so important. Okay? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks.
And it's a reality check. They're experiencing that right now in the United States with all of those young college grads, grad school persons over there who broke, and they're heavy down with their student loan debts,
and hundreds of thousands,
because there's no specialization in their degrees.
Yeah.
And anybody who's having a child right now, I just was talking to my niece. She wants to do cosmetology, and I encourage her, you know, and my daddy was like, I know my daddy listening. Shout out to Daddy Mac.
Hey, Daddy.
And he was like, well, she shouldn't do business or something. Like I said, when I go to the salon, $90, sometimes $120,
I used to pay $5 for a haircut. It's now $25
exactly.
for a haircut. And my barber got 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10. He got that minimum $25, all of them, $500-$600 a day.
Yeah, but even if you're going, let's say you want to do office administration or something like that, okay? You got your bachelor's or your associate's in that specialization.
Yes.
Because when you were in college, like the gentleman says, you learn nothing about on-job experience. You're going to learn all of that when you get in.
Yeah.
The only way you will learn that is if you went to a technical school and you got a degree in business administration, because they're going to teach you how to type.
Yeah.
They're going to teach you how to do Excel spreadsheets and all that.
Yeah.
If you go to a university, you're not going to learn any of that.
No, you got to teach that yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
you know, I took typing in high school. I say, I know why I'm taking this, because when I get to college, I got book reports, I got different things, projects to do, and I had to type a lot. Texas says, hey, yes, they did that in California at minimum wage for fast food restaurants. Mm-hmm. In California, you have over 50 locations nationwide. It's $20 an hour. So no one would see why they would use robots.
Yeah.
$20 an hour? That's 800. Geez, I'm moving to Cali. they offer it.
But see, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
A country wants to wage minimum wage, I'm always down from raising minimum wage, especially in the Bahamas, because what our minimum wage is right now, I wouldn't even say it's a joke. It's sad.
It is. It is.
However, we do understand that the cost of living is going up. But when we go to raise, do these increase, you've got to consult with the corporate and private business persons.
Yeah.
So you could find a middle ground, because what you don't want to happen is that all these companies start to do a mass layoff and then hire everybody on Fiverr and Upwork and all these other remote job places and replace Bahamian workers. So there has to be some sort of conversation, and there has to also be some sort of tax write-off. The government needs to start thinking about ways that, okay, we need to bring minimum wage up to $350. Personally, I think minimum wage needs to move up to $350 when we're looking at how the cost, the scale of the cost of living right now. Conversation with the private sector, the commercial sector, as well as persons in the government sector as well, because they employ 30% of a lot of our persons when we're thinking about the family islands.
Yeah.
And you have to find a middle ground. And when you find that middle ground, you have to say, okay, how can we allow the corporate sector to get some costs back when minimum wages increase?
Yeah.
So you have to think about certain taxes you're going to have to roll back for them. That way, our Bahamian people will be able to make a more comfortable living. Personally, $350 still ain't much, but it's a sure hell of a lot more than what you get now.
I know what you mean. Carly, you on there. How you doing?
Carly, what's happening, man? How
you doing? Hey, this is Petersburg.
Yo, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How you doing?
Man, like I said, like in California and Washington State, when they raised those minimum wages to $20 an hour, a lot of those companies ran out of business, man, because they couldn't sustain that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
$20 an hour just to flip burgers, man, that's crazy,
on a 40-hour week, that's $800 a week.
Yeah, you know, a lot of everybody need a living wage, but then again, you know, that's too much, man. The $20 an hour, man. You know, like some of these big corporations could deal with that, you know, but most of these small companies, you know, they get, a lot of them went out of business, or they moved to different states.
So,
other moved from California, they moved to Florida, Texas, where they don't have to pay no state tax and all that.
Uh-huh. Crazy, so let me ask you a question. What you going to do now when your man of business start dropping all them tariffs? Because I know you vote for him. When he drop all them tariffs on you and your everything goes up, what you can do then when a lot of businesses might have to close down? Or that
happen? Hey,
You're like a throw blow at you.
Listen to me. Uh-huh. I'm retired. I get money from the military, and I'm almost getting Social Security. But to me, you know, it is what it is. You know, I didn't mean to vote for the military. For my values, man. You know, I get out of the identity politics, man. That's what a lot of black people did. They sick and tired of this stuff. You know, identity politics. I like I say, when I first was eligible to vote in this country, I voted identity politics. That's what I thought most black people did. You know what I'm saying?
I got gotcha.
When you start the back to these, you know, and doing your research, some of these people. What if you against abortion? What if you against the death penalty? And you can support a party with your idea? That's the way I vote. And I'm not ashamed. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people go, oh, they're gonna stop talking to me. You know, they don't pay my bills. So, who, you know?
All right. Okay, Berg. All right. Thanks for calling. We talk soon, okay? What's next?
There's something that he said with regards to being a former... a veteran in the military.
He's a Bahamian that lives in the States. Yeah, but
shout out to Bert.
He's from St. Petersburg. So we call him St. Petersburg.
Which brings us back to job security.
Uh-huh.
After you already get this job, you need to be planning for retirement.
Yes.
And a lot of persons, a lot of our Bahamian people don't plan for retirement.
We just live
our life.
Yeah.
You know, we got to start thinking about creating trust for our kids. And we have to start creating our pension plans. You cannot rely. Somebody... I spoke to somebody who was on the 52-week program today before I came on the show.
Uh-huh.
And they was like, listen, I've been on the 52-week program for 15 years. I say, how?
52?
They came in the government
in
the 52-week program. And they said from way back when.
07.
And they're still working. Thank God they're still employed. However, they aren't able to get promoted. And they're not.
They can't get no mortgage.
They're beyond the age of being permanent and pensionable now. And here's the thing. I'm going to say something that is not popular, Earl. And people who y'all don't call me and round me on this good Thursday.
I hear out. Go ahead.
But here's the thing. We have to start taking accountability for ourselves as Bahamians and just as humans in general. Because after you get the 52-week program, it's something that the government instituted years ago. I think Hubert Ingraham started it, and it was a good initiative and a good incentive. However, that's an entry level job.
But it was only meant to be for 52 weeks or less.
Exactly. You have 52 weeks to go to school, get a trade, do something to be able to get you to be there permanently or to be able to get other job opportunities.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of Bahamian persons. If personally me, if I was on a 52-week program, I would take advantage of the opportunity, take advantage of the connections that I made on that job. And if I want to stay there longer, I'd have been working, trying to get something permanent. But in the meantime and in between time, I was calling CFAL. Yeah. And I would say, I would like to set up a pension plan. I was calling my insurance agency to set up an annuity for me to start putting a little money away in the event that I'm here long and I don't have a pension.
Yeah.
We have to take accountability for ourselves and stop blaming everything on the government. The government believes
something.
Or
relying on the government for everything. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We rely too much on the government because we learned from the pandemic, the government cannot take care of you always. God forbid, another pandemic happens in my lifetime, but we were all scared out of our minds.
Yes, we were.
When that happened.
Yes, we were.
We didn't know when the next meal was coming. Some of us, we had money. Do you know what it is when you have money in the bank that you can't spend?
Yeah.
That was so scary for me. I was like, you bargaining with people, say, listen, do you have this thing? Because I have some money. I could transfer the money to you just for toilet paper. I'm low on toilet paper. I can't go to the store. I would give you $50 for some of your for a roll of toilet paper. And they're telling you, that's okay. Because we were at the point where we didn't know when the food stores was opening back up again.
Yeah.
So all of these things are what we have to start taking accountability and start preparing for things now. Start preparing for disasters. Start preparing for if another global pandemic happens again, what we're going to do. Not just what the government is preparing for. What are you preparing for your household?
Yeah. Dex, a great show as usual. Probably the person ain't getting promoted because they refuse to kiss him. Great show as usual. We need a livable wage of $600. And probably the best thing happened. Okay. That's our time.
That is our time. So please come out to E.P. Roberts.
On Saturday?
This Saturday from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. for our job fair. We'll have lots of companies out there.
Is E.P. Roberts so people can know?
E.P. Roberts is in the constituency of Angleston.
Okay, that's on Balfour?
It's on Balfour
Avenue. Balfour Avenue. The school right there. The yellow school right there. 12 o'clock, come. There's opportunities to meet different industries. Bring your resume on a thumb drive if you don't. You know what you should do is try have a scanner there just in case they come with their hard copy. You can scan it.
We can do that as well. Because if you have your resume on your phone, you can email it to somebody in there.
Exactly.
And we can upload it. But come with printed copies as well.
Yes. Okay.
And as well as you come with a good attitude.
Yes.
That's the
most important thing. Mm-hmm.
HR too.
Yeah, come smiling, come ready, cut your hair, shape up everything, make yourself look presentable, and hopefully those of you who come will be able to walk away with a job. Hello, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Now, when we bring you back the next time, we can talk about this.
Yes.
Okay, how that sound?
Yes, it sounds great. We'll definitely do that.
All right. Everybody, thank you so much for the calls, for the texts. Thank you, Heather, for the information. I hope some people took something away from this and understand how the job market works and how what you got to do to get a job. If anybody wants to contact you, is there a number they can get you at?
They can reach me on Facebook, HWM Corporate Services.
HWM Corporate Services. Just check it out, and Heather will be always happy to help some people get some things done. This is Pearly on the Guardian Radio 96.9 FM Talking Heads. Thursday when we get back, we can talk some football. Clint's going to join me, and we can talk about what's going on tonight in football. I think it's Tampa Bay, Baltimore and Cincinnati tonight. So we'll talk some football later, talk about what's going on in baseball free agency. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back right after the news.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Take a juicy bite out of life with the new KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich. From its 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet, KFC signature ranch sauce, and fresh lettuce, to its cheddar cheese and smoky bacon stacked on a toasted brioche bun, you'll love this ultimate sandwich experience. Yes, the fried chicken experts have done it again. The KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich is available in original recipe or spicy, but only available for a limited time at your favorite KFC. The new KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich is here, and it's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Feeling lucky? Here's Cuban Willie's numerology report, brought to you by the Island Game.
Hola, it's Thursday. It's yo, Cuban Willie, and it's time for my game. And it's Thursday, like I say. I got the lucky 4 balls for you.
4-0-8-0, the 40-80.
Play them and win with the Island Games. Stay winning, my friend.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first. Guaranteed to pay
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start. From the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, hosted by Earl the Pearl, on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Grand Bahama News, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
And welcome back. Welcome. There you go. I couldn't hear myself for half a second. I got scared just now. Hi, welcome back. Talking Heads on a Thursday afternoon here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Yes, it's Pearly in the house. So good to be here with you again. Don't forget, if you want to talk sports, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-357-20, and you can text me the Powered by BTC line at 422-4796. Let me hear from you. Yep, welcome. So good to be back. In the second hour, we're going to talk some sports. We got an interesting Final 15. I can tell you about that in a minute, but let's get right into today in sports history. Today is Thursday, November 7th, 2024. Today in sports news, on this day in 1936, the New York Americans coast-to-coast radio broadcast of a hockey game in Canada. In 1962, Glenn Hall set an NHL record when he played in his 503rd consecutive game as a goalie. In 1963, Elston Howard of the New York Yankees became the first black player to be named the American League Most Valuable Player. In 1965, Bart Starr, the Green Bay Packers, was sacked 11 times by the Detroit Lions. In 1968, Red Barrison, St. Louis Blues, scored 6 goals in a game against the Philadelphia Flyers. The Blues won the game 8-0. In 1973, New Jersey became the first U.S. state to permit girls to play in Little League baseball teams. In 1983, Ali Haji Sheik, New York Giants, kicked his second 56-yard field goal. In 1988, Sugar Ray Leonard knocked out Donnie Lalonde. In 1991, Magic Johnson, NBA, announced that he had tested positive for the virus that causes AIDS and that he was retiring from basketball. In 1992, the Phoenix Suns played their first game at American West Arena. And finally, in 1999, Tiger Woods became the first golfer since Ben Hogan in 1953 to win four straight tournaments. And your sports quote of the day, one thought, driven hope is better than three left on base. Slider. Anyway, one thought given hope is better than three left on base. Okay, super, super, super. Let's get to the home court brought to you by Burger King. Anton out front in double doubles. Behemoth center averaging 14.4 points and 11.5 rebounds for the Blazers. He's really getting off. BLTA stages its senior nationals. And Canes legends coming to the Bahamas. That's the University of Miami Canes legends are coming to the Bahamas. That'll be so super. So what's happening out there, everybody? This final 13 is Shannon Sharp is talking about the Dolphins. And he's saying that the Dolphins should blow up the team and start fresh. Give me your thoughts on that. I think the Dolphins should just scrap this team, get rid of Tua, Waddle Hill, just scrap everybody, start fresh. And that means you're going to be getting some cut hip for about 3-4 years before you start winning. Or do they just build on what they got? That'll be interesting to see. How's everybody else doing today? Hot news coming out of baseball. All the free agents starting to talk about what's going on. Who's going well? Who might possibly go somewhere? Teams that are looking at Juan Soto. So that's getting kind of hot right now. And that should be some kind of fun to see. Free agency is always a good thing because you're sitting and you're hoping your team signs somebody. You're hoping you get somebody you want, then you don't get it, you're upset, you're P.O. You know, I see the Yankees are looking at Max Fried. That's the pitcher from Atlanta. They're also looking at Corbin Burns. They're looking at Blake Snell. They're looking at Sean. They trying to get some pitching in there. I don't know if the Yankees need a lot of starting pitching, but they will be needing some bullpen relief. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. That'll be interesting to see. The Red Sox, also the Blue Jays, among teams interested. I'm also interested in Max Fried. I know the Dodgers are interested in Max Fried as well. Teams like the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays, amongst teams that are looking at Juan Soto, you know. I don't know. We'll see what goes on. We'll see what's happening. Football tonight. You got a big game tonight with, I think it's Baltimore and Cincinnati. Baltimore had a good go. I think they went to overtime the last time they played, so this should be a good game to watch tonight. Of course, you only got a couple of NBA games on tonight, but we'll see what goes on. Carly on there. How you doing?
Yeah, but I noticed that the Dodgers are already making way on the outfield, right? And right field. You all have your arms in the... You're all looking at Cody yourself.
Yeah. They think about moving... They think about moving Mookie back to second base.
I listen. I stay up to date with Michael Kay, you know.
Okay.
The pinstripe. I always up to date know what's going on.
Who else the Yankees looking at then?
We're looking at all those people you mentioned.
Anybody else?
You remember what I told you, right? Craftsman, out of the same thing. I told you we put in Jaws the second. You say getting a third baseman. He ain't optimistic about us, even with our shortstop. But he ain't saying nothing about him per se. But I listened to this and they interviewed him exclusively.
Uh-huh.
And so the Yankees' priority is to make sure that we become back fundamentally strong. Fundamentally.
Well, that was your weakness this time. Fundamental baseball was your weakness. You had to hit. You had bludgeoned a lot of people during the regular, beating them 10-6 or 10-8 or 15-12 and stuff like that, because y'all didn't play good fundamental baseball. And when you meet a team like the Dodgers that is patient at the plate, that knows how to run the bases, that aggressive on the bases. Y'all had a problem, and that was your weakness, and the Dodgers knew that, and they exploited that.
Listen, that cost us the World Series. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
That cost us the World Series. And then and Cashman, he didn't want to come out and say that, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
A Yankees fan like me, who been fan from the 70s, we know what time it is.
Yeah,
team got to become fundamentally strong in order to be able to go back to the World Series.
Yeah.
We can't do it with that squad, with that bunch of people. There's some people got to get cut off from there.
Yep. Because you know Baltimore are going to do some. You know Baltimore is going to do some things to get better. Cleveland got a little taste of the water, so they can do some things to get better. Detroit, I thought Detroit was a year ahead of their time, so they can be better.
Improve.
And the Mets would be better next year.
But that team like that, you got to be joking.
No, you got to work on it.
Listen, I would rather spend the $600 million improving us, become a better team fundamentally and some, even if I have to lose sort in the process.
You ought to spend that $600 and sign maybe 3 to 4 players with that money as opposed to just getting Soto.
Listen, if we can't coordinate all of that within the budget, let Soto walk, but we got to become come back fundamentally soon.
Okay.
And if you have a third baseman who could average a 280, give you about 25 home run, and about maybe close to 100 RBI, Josh can give you close to 60, 70 RBI. With about 24 women and about 60 stolen base. So, look here, we got to come up fundamentally strong. And I think Cashman is listening to me because everything I said to you that day uttered those same words in New York. So he must be listening to Resco in the Bahamas.
You think so? You think?
All right,
brother. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that. Scusa, Cashman got to be listening to him. But, you know, he's very right. The Yankees fundamentally was very weak. They're very weak fundamentally. They needed to work on some things. They need to work on some things. They need to make some plays. So, you know, they can lose Torres. They can lose first and second base. So moving Jazz to second may be a good move. And even though he did a great job, he's not a third baseman. He's a second baseman, shortstop second baseman. And he shows, but the good thing about it is Jazz has shown that he's willing to and can play more than one position. All right? So that makes him a valuable piece for that team. They can move him to left field. He can play left if they're able to get somebody else. They can move him back to second. He can play short. But I don't think they'll put him in short. So the opportunity there for Jazz is twofold in New York. And because he has that willingness to play anyway, because he loves the game of baseball and just wants to play baseball, that's a good move for him. Carly, on there, how you doing?
Yeah, Pearls, what's going on?
Hey, Muff, what's happening?
I'm so glad Boston got beat last night, but hey, Pearls, buddy, he again on bad.
But that was a jump. That was a dagger he shot last night, eh?
Yeah, with the 42 seconds leaving.
He's falling back off. He's falling into the ground, and that alone, nothing but the bottom of the net.
Hey, from since the season start, I ain't think none of Buddy Hill shots hit the rim yet. He ain't touched the rim yet. Just bottom of the net. Just bottom.
But the good thing about it is they're 5-0 on the road, which is a good move. This is a whole different Golden State team from last year.
And they 7-1 overall,
yeah,
right?
This is a whole different Golden State team.
Yeah,
it's
a whole different team. And Hill has come off the bench hitting threes right away.
Yeah,
pop, three back to back.
Yeah.
Hey, Miami let me down. Miami got the second game where you let fall 15-point lead. I didn't talk to Bamino. Missing up all these shots in the pink thing, man.
Bamino listening to you, eh?
Something full, man. Only hero playing good. Jimmy doing a bunch of foolishness. 15-point lead in the second half and two games back to back. You all lose it.
Yeah, I lost. They only lose by a few points.
Yeah, and the 1 point in the other game before that.
Yeah, I get beat in the fourth quarter.
They left the bonus going, hit the ball, push the ball back up. Hey, but Jimmy bugged me last night. No, Jimmy, you must have taken the shot. The only 4 seconds is on the clock. What are you trying to pass the ball for?
Yeah.
You done come back outside the 3-point line, take the shot.
But maybe you got to call them too.
Yeah, but you see, OKC lose, so only one more undefeated team, right? Only Cleveland, but Cleveland can't on body.
Cleveland looking good, but they
8-0.
Yeah, that's a big. They scoring a lot of points. They scored 130
points.
Yeah,
but
they
looking good. But it's why they can't on bad. But even a team like Denver is what beat OKC. But then they still was looking good undefeated. They still come looking solid.
And that was a close. That was only a 2-point win. That was a close. Joker.
Yeah,
only
but then he get blocked. He's trying to tie it up 2 innings, but Alexander get blocked.
Okay.
But you ain't lie though. But that's a big game tonight though. But I game with Baltimore. The Cincinnati, they look good in that game, but you're not going into overtime. Burrow's really getting himself together and everything. That's going to be a big game.
All right. I think it'll be a big game.
Let me end with this. What do you think with Stafford, Matthew Stafford and the Rams Sunday, man? What do you think about that game?
Say it again? Sorry, say it again? No, I actually
out of
I started.
And, out of 2-6 record, what do you think with Matthew Stafford and the Rams, and the LA Rams Sunday?
We should be able to, but if we can't beat them, we need to go home.
Hey,
if we can't beat them, we need to really blow up the team and listen to
Challenge
Jack.
You mean with Cutback and with the Hawaiian back, number 17? What do you name now? With the two of them back, you think the Dolphins could beat them now? They must either win two games on a row or three.
There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to beat them. Even though they're a one-point favorite, we should be able to beat them.
Would you say with Shannon Sharp and think, boy, I think we better get two trades and just do some, hire some people off.
Well, however you do it. Now, Miami, the main problem Miami has.
Come start all over again. Like you say, that's 5-6 years before you're seeing some success.
Yeah, but the problem Miami have is right now, they salary capped all screwed up so bad. It's in a way that I don't even know if they have money to sign many players next year. And it's probably why they didn't make any moves during the trade deadline, because they need to free up some money for next year. So you might have a bunch of veterans, one-year players who are on one-year contracts or who got one more year on their contract gone. You may see Holland gone next year out of Miami. Because we may not be able to afford to extend him.
They need to change the GM staff of Miami and Dingman upstairs.
Well, a lot of people call him ahead, so, you know, a lot of people saying that he needs to go.
All right, let me let someone else get in then, and then I can listen to the picks. All right, bro.
Brother. Good to hear your voice. But, you know, Miami needs to make a decision on what's it going to do. We should be able to beat the Rams on. We are in a position right now, we can't afford to lose any more games. Maybe one. All right, and if you look at Miami's schedule, boy, this hurts my heart. We should be able to beat the Rams. We should be able to beat the Raiders. We should be able to beat the Patriots. All right? Have a tough time with the Packers, but no reason why you can't beat the Packers. All right? The Jets, the Texans, the 49ers, the Browns, then the Jets again. We got to take one out of two from the Jets. You can't let the Jets come in town and sweep you. All right? You got to be able to beat the Texans. The 49ers are a beatable team because they're beating up on them. Miami in a position they can go 7-2 in the last 9 games, 8-1 in the last 9. They're in a position to do that. If I'm not worried about the offense, as long as two is there, I'm not worried about the offense. The offense is fine. It's the defense that's scaring the crap out of me. It's the defense that ain't doing what they're supposed to do. You know, the defense, when Tua wasn't there, the defense stepped up its game, held teams to 16 points, held teams to 10 points, and lost. We still lost. We couldn't score. But now we're scoring. They cannot stop other people from scoring. And that game against Buffalo was who had the ball last. Buffalo had the ball last. And they was able to beat us. You know, and that's what annoys me about this team. That's what drives me crazy about this team. And that's why I can't wait. Anyway, let me not say that. But some different things happened in Miami. That's the bottom line. I need to see different things happen in Miami. I need to see better things happen in Miami. If you take a look at the Cincinnati Bengals, they're 4-5. Ravens 6-3. That's going to be an interesting game. The record means nothing in this game. Just get it. Yeah, I'll tell you my pick later. The record means nothing. They're division rivals. They played each other tough the last time. Joe Burrow starting to play some decent football. This is a good test for Baltimore as to see if they're really the Super Bowl team that Pearly picked them to be. This is a really good test for Baltimore. Clint's not joining us today, being doing his daddy duties, but he did send his pick, and I'll tell you what his pick is a little later. And then he'll be on tomorrow when we get Eric and we go talk about the weekend stuff tomorrow. But he's at that stage where he's doing that daddy daycare stuff, you know, and I can't blame him for that. Only 3 games in the NBA later, the Wolves and the Bills, the Timberwolves and the Bills, the Jazz and the Bucks, and the Trailblazers and the Spurs. We'll talk about that a little later. A couple of football games tonight. Who's anybody been watching college basketball yet? Anybody getting into that yet? You know, I saw VJ Edge come play the other day. Had a vicious dunk. They got a young team. Baylor's going to be all right at the end of the day. They're going to look a little rough at the beginning because they got to build that chemistry. They got to build that togetherness. They'll be a little rough in the beginning, but they should be fine. I look forward to seeing what's going on there. I really look forward to see what's going on there. To see, all right. Naughty, it has finally happened. Naughty called for this. I guess they were going through the stuff. Bronny assigned to the G League. Ah, I know Naughty be happy to hear this. Ah, boy. As expected, the Los Angeles Lakers can sign Bronny James to their G League affiliate South Bay on Thursday, according to ESPN. Per that report, he remained with the Lakers on Friday for a matchup with the 76ers before making his G League debut on Saturday against Salt Lake City. The young James is only expected to play in South Bay home games. What do you mean? I don't get privileged. You only can play home games. What do you mean? He can travel? Wow. The 20-year-old second-round pick that has been a non-factor for the Lakers thus far this season appeared in four games and averaging a point per contest while shooting 16% from the field. He's over his head. James is always expected to spend time in both the NBA and the G League this season. They're trying to play it off now. I think they were really trying to keep him there. So I know Naughty, you'd be happy to hear that. He's finally gone to the G League, where he needs to hone his skills, and hopefully he can come back and look like something different, you know? The Lakers, they're missing open shots. You know, it's demoralizing that, you know, you're hitting the shot, you're sending them these wide open shots that they can't buy a bucket if you give them the money for it. You know, that, boy. They really got to get their stuff together. But in time that now that the kid who should not be taking the playing time is not going to be there, you know. There's also a rumor going around that Milwaukee is looking for trading the Greek Freak, and the Warriors has some kind of, what do you call it? They're doing some groundwork to get him. They're looking at it. That might happen. But we'll see what happens there. Callie on there. How you doing?
Hey, Pearls. What's happening, man?
Hey, Mystery. What's happening?
Everything is good. I'm glad. Ronnie, he only made an introduction
yes.
in the NBA. That's
yes.
all that was.
Yes, that's all that was.
It's just to play on the side of his father. That's how LeBron James had it set up so he could play with his son before he retired.
Make that one history, father-son, the first father-son duo in yeah. NBA, like the Griffey, like Ken and Ken Griffey Sr. Jr. played in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, made it one or two of the first.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
man, that was a good game between the Celtics and the Warriors last night.
It was a really good game. It was good. That was good. That's the first time I've watched the Warriors play all season, and they look good. That's a different team from last year.
Yeah, I think because of Buddy Hield too.
Buddy's playing a major factor in that.
Buddy's playing ball, and they didn't give him enough. They didn't give him enough shots last night. I think they would have beat Boston worse than that.
Think so?
But you know, you have to look at Boston had one of their key players out.
Who was out for Boston? Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes.
Players out.
Yes.
But, I mean, the Warriors look good. And their next game is against 9-0 Cleveland Cavaliers.
So that should be a good test for both teams.
And then after that, OKC.
You sound like you're paying a lot of attention to the Warriors. Are you happening to drop your Laker affiliation and move on, going upstate?
To you. I know Naughty and Del, let me explain something. I said this before, right? The Kansas City Chiefs is my second team in NFL.
Okay.
And Golden State Warriors is my second team in the NBA.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Understand.
That's me.
Yeah, I just have one team. I don't have two teams, but I understand.
I was exceptionally happy that the Lakers lost that game last night, even though LeBron James scored 39 points.
Why were you exceptionally happy?
Exceptionally happy.
Why is that?
Except, I never liked the Lakers, man. Come on.
Okay.
Let's be real.
Oh, so you're a Heat fan. You're a Heat fan. Yeah, I just remember that.
He needs to go in the B League, not the G League. Have a good one,
Take care, my brother. Mr. East Trouble. Call you on day. How you doing?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Thompson.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right, you know, my brother. It's been a while.
What's happening?
Right, you know. You're speaking about Bronny James.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, right?
Uh-huh.
I think if he want to hone his skills, he need to start off by the Priory on Saturday and Sunday.
Come to the Priory, give me a boy players day.
Yeah, at least he can hold some skills out there or something.
I can send that message to him.
this is your old friend, Larry.
Hey, Larry. Hey, what's happening? What's happening?
Come on, take care, my brother.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate that. Yeah. This is the producer. Let's take our first break. When we get back, we can talk a little bit more sports. We can get into the picks. And then get ready to see what Shannon Sharp got to say about our Miami Dolphins. This is Pearly on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM, Talking Heads on a Thursday afternoon. I'll be right back.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government savings bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Savings Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Flavid Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Flavid Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause it is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first. Guaranteed to pay
Island Games.
We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start. From the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Take a juicy bite out of life with the new KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich. From its 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet, KFC signature ranch sauce, and fresh lettuce, to its cheddar cheese and smoky bacon stacked on a toasted brioche bun, you'll love this ultimate sandwich experience. Yes, the fried chicken experts have done it again. The KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich is available in original recipe or spicy, but only available for a limited time at your favorite KFC. The new KFC Bacon Ranch Sandwich is here, and it's finger-licking good.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, hosted by Earl the Pearl, on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Welcome back to Talking Heads on a Thursday afternoon. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. How you doing, everybody? So good to be here with you. Boy. Now is the time where you separate men from the boys, champion from contenders in the NFL. They've already played 9 games. You got 8 more to go, or 9 more to go in some instances. This is where you start seeing some separation. Some separation. You're going to have one of those two teams who are going to fight to the end, but you can start seeing who the real teams in the NFL are now. Injuries are kicking in. Fatigue is kicking in a little bit. People are now scouting the teams a lot better. Most teams who play two in the division most teams have already played each other at least once. So it's going to be getting even more and more interesting now in the NFL. I really thought I would have been bragging with my Dolphins a lot more. I honestly thought that this was a year. I didn't say the year to win the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl. I thought this year they was going to make a good run. Win one playoff game, move to a second, or maybe win two playoff games and get beat in the AFC Championship, or even make it to, But no. Every year your heart break. Every year. And I'm gonna moon right now. I'm going to be in moon right now. Every year. You build up these hopes and these Dolphins break your heart. Every year, you think it's going to be this the year. This the year. And what happens? Tua gets hurt. You look like crap again. You bring him back. You still ain't getting your act together. Boy, if I could say the words I really want to say right now, but I wonder why he'd send me home. But it's frustrating as a fan that you have these high hopes for your team. You're thinking you're going to see something good in your team. And particularly as a Dolphin, and more so too, the Dallas Cowboys too. I can't leave them out. That you just get your heartbreak. Texas says, "Pearly, ain't too late for you and Naughty to pull for the Steelers. At least you won the baseball, but Naughty, what team he won yet?" Nah, let me get something straight here. I will never be a Steeler fan. Let's put that out there right now. I will never be a Steeler fan. You know, even the lady I date is a Steeler fan, and I know that ain't a presume. I'm a Dolphin. I'm a very loyal person when it comes to sports. And if I tell you I'm your friend, trust me, I'm your friend. I'm loyal. I don't think they'd be as loyal back to me. I'm loyal to the Dolphins, but they're not loyal back to me. Because we ain't winning. We losing again, and that pissing me off even more. But I'm not a type fan that would start pulling for another team because my team told me. If I tell you I'm pulling for this team, I can pull for the team. I can get to know the team. I can study the team. I can figure out what's the weaknesses, what the strengths are. So I can talk intelligently about the team. But not because another team winning. You know, 1 week, 1 year, somebody is the Chicago Bulls fan. Then they leave the Bulls and they go to the Detroit Pistons because they win it. Then when the Golden State Warriors start winning, they start pulling for Golden State. Then when the Miami Heat start winning, they start going to the Miami Heat. No, that ain't fans. That's those fellas who won't be able to say they win. You know, they don't want to go through the agony, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. That's what sports is all about. It is the frustration of your team losing and the excitement of your team winning. And when you decide that you're going to be a fan of a team, get to know your team and stick with your team. You ain't want nobody say that's your friend, and as soon as the proverbial stuff hit the fan, you damn your friend no more. How you going to feel? Not that the teams really care if we are Pearly or one of y'all out there listening and pulling for them and stop pulling for them. They really don't know us. But the point is, if you can't just hop from team to team because you want to be with the winning team. Because I wonder how loyal you'd be to your family or your friends if you just switch. It's a little intense to be saying. But the bottom line is, if you pull a team, get to know your team. The joy of it is cussing them out when you lose or bragging when they win. That's the fun part of being a fan of a particular team in whatever sport you like. Callie on there, how you doing?
Yeah, Pearly.
What's up?
Yeah, you know I got a clown on you. I called you week six, right? Last week, you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember I promised to give you a call on week six, right?
Yes, you did.
So week six and two, and we having a bye now. But I just called to let you know, brace yourself, you and Muffin, all of them. Watch out now. Listen, I mean, with Russell, right?
Uh-huh.
We can make a hustle. So, I mean, you all good for the cup. Like, downplay what's going on here. So you said last week, we look frightening. So you know why you said that.
What did I say?
You said the Steelers look frightening. No, scary. I think you said that.
But I mean, when I say scary, I don't mean scary in a bad way. I mean, scary is a team you don't want to play.
Yeah, that's what they say in the offense. I like your boy. What did the young guy about with Fields, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like him because I thought he did well. He's still, you know, and he's a backup would make it even better. But as it relates to pulling for teams, you know, like as a young man, you know, once we have me and Joe Green and Bradshaw, I'm showing up on the sidelines, and I think we could win any game. So that's a psych right there when you look at it because – who all the survivors are from the Steelers team? I'd like to really know, you know, like from the four Super Bowl run. Remember guys like John Stallway.
It'll be good to see who I know, you know, Terry said, because he's on TV every week. Yeah. Just Google, let's say, give me the living members
of
the...
We got Cincy and the Ravens tonight.
Cincy and the Ravens tonight, yeah.
That's a division game, yeah. I game with the Ravens, but, you know, we got the best division in the AFC. I see you talking, but I think, I look at the record-wise, I think I can sit. I can watch this one tonight, Billy.
But understand one thing: I am a huge Russell Wilson fan. You know.
Yeah, but I think he surprised me too. Because I mean, but I
no,
I, mean,
I like, wanted him to be your starting quarterback. I pulled for that when they put him there. I said he never lost the job. He got hurt.
Yeah, but I got a joke for you, Billy.
Uh-huh.
I'm a steel curtain. I'm certain, and I can be a steel curtain whether we winning or hurting. Bless up.
But listen, rhymester extraordinaire. Rhymester extraordinaire. I like that. But you know, like I said, I am a Russell Wilson fan. I loved him from he was in Seattle. I thought he got a raw deal in Denver. I thought he went there. I can put it in the way behemoth in the head swell. And I think he got brought down to earth. I think he was humbled. The fact that the Steelers brought him there, Tomlin put him in, let him know A, B, C, and D, and this is the way we can do it. And he's doing well in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is a scary team. And the thing is, that's a team that when playoff time come around, I don't think anybody can want to play. Put together one good game to beat you. They seem like baseball where you got to win four games to win the championship. There's one game you got to win to get to the next round. And Russell Wilson can put one game good game together because you only worry about that one game, that one day, and not even having to adjust for another game the next day. So that's how it go. Callie on there. How you doing?
How you doing?
How you good?
Listen, I was listening to that guy, a Steeler fan. Just, sounds like a very intelligent man.
That sounds like you a Steeler fan too.
I am black and gold to the soul.
I got you.
I don't know how old you are, but I'll give you an idea. I became a Steeler fan when I saw the Samsonite commercials in the 70s.
Okay. I was around for those. I went to the Dallas-Pittsburgh Super Bowl in 1976 in the Orange Bowl.
Oh, you ancient.
I was 14. So yeah.
Oh, you was a grown man.
Yeah, I'm grown. Yeah, I born in the year our Lord 62. So you know.
Oh, okay, so you got my respect then, because I know a lot of Dolphins that are fans of the Miami Dolphins, and I always tease them. I said, the last time they won a Super Bowl, we were still British.
Yeah, that's true.
But talking about the Steelers, what I want to say about Russell Wilson, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, when Tomlin decided to put Russell in, and everybody was like, well, leave Justin Fields in the game, don't take him out. I think it was always Coach T's intentions of Russell being a starter. You know, I don't ever think that was a big
thing. Quarterback. He never lost the job to Fields. You know, he got hurt. So he was never, right, so exactly. You know, the only right that you get an opportunity to take your job back and keep it, and he's keeping it.
Exactly. But if you remember back, the team that we have, the Steelers have right now with Russell, you know, boom days, when they went to those two Super Bowls, it's kind of like the same team. Strong defense, power running game, and some big moon ball deep passes. It's kind of the same formula if you think about it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. And that's what the Steelers have been all their in existence.
Yeah, we've always, defense, run game. You know, a lot of people give us nonsense about, we playing like it's still the 70s and 80s, but guess what? Like you said before you answered me, you said it's not like baseball where you have a series.
Yep.
All you got to do is stop Josh Allen or
Patrick Mahomes.
Or Patrick Mahomes or...
Or Jackson.
The kid from...
Lamar.
Baltimore.
Lamar.
Listen, you stop them two series in the fourth quarter.
And odds are you won't have to play all three of those teams. You may have to play two of them. So if Pittsburgh makes the playoff, they may play Kansas City. So if they beat Kansas City, they may only or someone else.
Well, the good thing is if we have to play the Ratbirds, we played them twice, so we always go. And you know, we're 7-1 against in our last eight games against the Ravens.
All right, I got to run. My producer tell me the time for me, my time out. I appreciate the call.
Brother.
Thanks for calling, my brother. Call to you again soon. Okay, that's before we go quick. Let's get to the picks. Clint picked Baltimore 34-29. I picked Baltimore tonight 31-24. Pick them, put them together. That's what's going to happen tonight. Baltimore tonight, both Clint and I picked them. Thank you so much for the calls. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the texts. Naughty will be in tomorrow. I'll be in at 5 o'clock tomorrow so we can do the whole weekend. Thank you so much. This has been the Talking Heads Thursday on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. This is Pearly. I'm out.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slots hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale, and put fashion at your feet.
What gift gives you joy?
The gift of home renovations.
Apply for a personal loan with CIBC Caribbean and use your funds for a dream holiday, home renovations, or more, and we'll gift you no loan application fee and the chance to win one of three prizes in your country from our regional pot of up to US$100,000. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/joyofgiving. CIBC Caribbean, terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, hosted by Earl the Pearl. On Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Shannon Sharpe insinuates that the Miami Dolphins should blow up the roster. That is going to be the main discussion on today's show, if Miami should do that, reacting what Shannon Sharpe did say and what could be the possible avenue Miami goes in the offseason to at least improve the roster next season if they don't blow it up. I am Nick Roloff. This is Dolphins Today by Chat Sports. And before we hop into today's video, could you help and spread the word of the channel? Share this video to a friend, family member, coworker. We're trying to push out our reach here to more Dolphins fans. And if you have a Dolphins fan that doesn't know about our channel or needs to be more informed around the team, well, make sure you do share today's video. It would be greatly appreciated. All right, let's hop into what Shannon Sharpe said about the Miami Dolphins on the nightcap. Says, do I believe Tua is going to stay healthy? Well, without Tua, you're not going anywhere. I don't care if you got Waddle. I don't care if you got Hill. And he talked a lot about injuries and how this team could really bounce back if Tua isn't playing. Like, he also mentioned how much you paid others, like Teron Armstead, like Jalen Ramsey. And then he specifically said, if you're the Miami Dolphins organization, do you seriously look over the next three seasons with Tua? Will he play 51 games? That would be 17 games a year, obviously the regular season. He says, how many times has Tua done that in his career? Well, he's done it once, did it in 2023, obviously not happening this year. And his whole basis of his argument and what he was basically saying is that he doesn't believe this team will be able to win a Super Bowl because he doesn't think Tua will be healthy for all 17 games, which will put them at a disadvantage in the postseason, having to travel in the playoffs and have an unsustainable path to the Super Bowl every single year. And I don't disagree with Shannon Sharpe. Like, with Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, it's going to be tough for Miami to their season team out of those four and have a top seed where the teams have to go through Miami to get to the Super Bowl rather than the Dolphins having to go on the road. And I will say this, though, and when it comes to Sharpe insinuating that they should blow up the roster, it's very difficult for them to do so, and I get it's frustrating. I get your 2-6 in that you want changes. I want changes. I might still get rid of Chris Greer in the offseason, but the moral of the story is this, is that with how the roster looks right now, with how the contract situations are looking going into the offseason, it's going to be very difficult to blow it up if you're the Miami Dolphins, because if you do move off some of these key players with big contracts, you really don't save as much money as you probably would think you would due to dead cap and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of a tough decision for Chris Greer to make, which we'll outline here in just a second. But today's pinned comment, make the call. Should the Miami Dolphins blow up the roster? Type Y for yes, type N for no. Like I said, it's the pinned comment. So if you get hit with a YouTube ad break, scroll down, let it play, and answer today's question down in the comment section. And before we continue here, I do think it's important to discuss what blowing it up would actually be for the Miami Dolphins. When I look at the roster, I look at the cap situation, this is what I would consider blowing up this team. One, it would be getting rid of Tyreek Hill via trade or Bradley Chubb via trade. Now, I know Chubb hasn't played this year, but he's one of your biggest contracts and one of your projected impact players on this team. So those two are pretty massive change to this group. And but I'd also add one of Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel going. And I'm sure this isn't blowing up the roster if you get one of McDaniel or Chris Greer gone, but blowing up, at least in terms of the thought process, the organization, that is a key aspect in this idea. And when you look at what could happen here, and you talk about why I don't think it's really a likely outcome that Miami blows up the rosters because of the contracts. Well, let's take a look at Tyreek Hill's situation. And this is Barry Jackson with the note saying that there's a $27.7 million cap hit in 2025 if he's on the team. But there's an even bigger cap hit for Miami, $28.3 million, if he's traded before June 1st. It's $12.7 million cap hit if he's traded after June 1st. What's more, his $27.7 million salary for 2025 is fully guaranteed. And my takeaway from this in the financial situation is that he's not getting traded because you saw it. The only way that you really get a lesser cap hit for Tyreek Hill this season is if you trade him after June 1st. But if you're shutting contracts, you're blowing up this roster, you're likely going to make these trades in order to have money to sign people in free agency and use those draft picks to make selections in the 2025 NFL draft. Well, if you trade him after June 1st, which is the only way you get money back and don't pay him that much, well, you've already missed out on the ability to sign top-tier free agents and the NFL draft has already passed. So trading Tyreek Hill doesn't really make a lot of sense in the offseason if the idea is to use the assets you'd get back to bolster the roster next year. So I think Tyreek Hill is staying put at least until next line at bare minimum. And we'll talk about Bradley Chubb in just a second, but we are sponsored by Game Time, the number one ticketing app out there. And if you want to go see a live event, whether it's a sporting event, comedy show, concert, Game Time is the best way to get tickets because they have so many great features that make it easy to buy your tickets. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you the incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. I use Game Time Picks when I bought my tickets to go to the NLCS games 4 and 5 in New York City, as well as when I went to LSU-USC in week 1 of the college football season. Make sure you get started today. Use the feature of all-in pricing, which shows you the total price of your ticket up front rather than getting blindsided by fees at checkout. Game Time is the total package if you want to get tickets to any live event. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CHATSPORTS to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, first purchase only, but one more time, CHATSPORTS is the code. When you create an account, use that to get $20 off your first purchase. What time is it? It is game time. All right, when we move over to Bradley Chubb now, it's pretty likely that he's not getting dealt either because his contract situation is eerily similar to Tyreek Hill's in terms of it just doesn't save Miami money when they need it. Well, look at what happens with Bradley Chubb. He doesn't have any of his money guaranteed in 2025, but he has a $29.3 million cap hit. And that only drops the $27.4 million on the cap if he's cut or traded before June 1st. So you only save $2 million if you move off of Bradley Chubb before free agency or the draft. It's $9.1 million in dead money for Miami if he's cut after June 1st. But the Dolphins obviously couldn't use any of that cap space when free agency is up in March. So you might ask yourself, well, if you're not going to get rid of Bradley Chubb because of the contract situation, you can't really get rid of Tyreek Hill either, then is blowing up the roster really even a possibility for Miami? Well, not really. Like, if the Dolphins want to improve for next year, it's more of retooling the roster, cutting a little bit of the fat, restructuring some contracts, and signing bargain free agents that you're going to have to hope have career years on your team next season to fit around your core of Tua, Achane, Jalen Wright, Hill, Waddle, Ramsey, Phillips, Chubb. Like, you're going to have to hit on your draft picks to get an important production from rookies right away, but also make some key value free agent signings, which it's possible to be done, but this front office is going to have to shoot a very high percentage if they want to bounce back next season. And the reason why it's so difficult and you're going to be going bargain shopping is because when you look at some of these top contracts that are on the books for next season, like, these are massive cap hits. Obviously, Tua's on the books for $39.4 million. Bradley Chubb is at 29.3. Hill's at 27. Armstead's at 22. Jalen Ramsey, 16. Jackson, 13. Phillips, 13. You have seven players that have a cap hit of $13 million or more next season. That's just hard to build a good roster and a well-balanced roster when you're paying so many talented players top money. And that's why restructuring contracts have to work, whether you give it a bonus, whether you give a void year and extend some money could impact you in the future. But in order to try to compete in 2025 with this kind of core, you get more cap space to use in this upcoming free agency pool, which, by the way, isn't that good. I was looking at some free agent boards and stuff like that. Javon Holland's a top three, top five free agent this upcoming cycle. And I love Javon Holland, but the fact that he's a top three, top five free agent really doesn't tell you that there's a ton of good free agents out there that Miami could go sign. It's going to have to be, like I mentioned, bargain signings to where Miami gets extremely good value on some young guys or veterans that ultimately come in and make a monumental impact. But restructuring contracts are going to be very important. I'd look at a potential restructure with Teron Armstead, Bradley Chubb as well, potentially Austin Jackson to try to free up some money in the future. You're also likely going to have to cut some people. Durham Smythe, Jake Bailey come to mind that could free up a total of $5 to $6 million in cap space if both of those guys are cut before June 1st. So if you look towards the offseason, there are some avenues to create cap space, but it's not like you're going to have $50, $60 million in cap to really add to this group. But let me ask you this before I go through the five biggest positions of need Miami needs to improve going into next season. What is the biggest thing Miami needs to fix this offseason if they want to have a competitive season next year? Drop the biggest thing down in the comments section. I'll be looking and seeing what the real ones have to say. All right, when you look at what I think they need to do, and these are not ordered as of now, but these are five important spots Miami must address in the offseason. Inside linebacker, off-ball linebacker, whatever you want to say. Because next year you're projected to have Phillips, Chubb, Chop Robinson, Zach Sealer. So you think your pass rush is going to be much better next year than it is this season, assuming everyone returns and is fully healthy. So the linebacker spot on the interior is massively important. Jordan Brooks has been good, but he's on a one-year deal. Anthony Walker, one-year deal. David Long Jr. is going to be a free agent after this year. And Anthony Walker Jr. and David Long Jr. have been absolutely abysmal. So you're going to pretty much have to overhaul that entire inside linebacker room. You're going to have to improve that spot of your defense. You're going to like to try to add a nose tackle that can help you stop the run a little bit better to help Zach Sealer on the interior of that defensive line. We know the backup quarterback spot needs to be addressed. They need to invest decent money in a backup quarterback. So if Tua misses time again, which it's likely will happen, you have someone that doesn't completely tank the season like Skylar Thompson or Tyler Huntley filling in behind them. Interior offensive line, even though this group has been much better over the last month or so, I don't really think Robert Jones or Liam Eichenberg are future interior offensive linemen of this team. You got Patrick Paul waiting in the wings in case Teron Armstead retires. Aaron Brewer's been a great signing. Austin Jackson, a right tackle, but left guard and right guard have to be addressed. And then your safeties. Javon Holland's a free agent. Jordan Poyer has been atrocious. Marcus May's on a one-year deal and has not done that well in stopping the run, decent in coverage. You're going to have to overhaul your safety room in all likelihood, and the same thing with your inside linebacker. So the top two probably in my books are inside linebackers and safeties. Backup quarterback would be number three, and then you start to get to the nose tackle and interior offensive line as the next biggest things for the Miami Dolphins. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, it's going to be difficult. The Dolphins don't have a ton of cap space to make adjustments. Right now, they're projected to have $4.4 million in cap space. That does not include some cuts that can be made that could get them easily to $10 or $11 million, contract restructures that can get them to $20 maybe. I would project, if I'm the Miami Dolphins and if I'm a Dolphins fan thinking about what could happen and looking towards the free agency class, I think you could expect anywhere between $15 and $25 million in cap space going into free agency. Maybe that's lowballing it, but I think that's a realistic expectation for this ball club to get from $4.4 to $20, $25 million, which would allow them to sign a potential couple, two or three free agents at a decent, decent price, but not go big game hunting in the offseason. That's going to do it for today's show. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Still dropping daily content here. We'll have you covered leading up to the Week 10 game for Miami as they travel to Los Angeles to take the Rams on Monday Night Football. So make sure you subscribe. Join us for that watch party coming up. We'll be right back.